The Lou Trek Show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network, home of the best podcasts like Byer Brown, Tech and Stuff at bbtas.com, and the Mike Tech Show at miketechshow.com. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com.
Now establishing data link. Accessing.
You're listening to show number 71 for Thursday, September 7, 2010.
Kapla from Kronos. This is the resident Klingon, Brian Dedimore.
And now, the Lou Trek Show is proud to present your co-host,
Kapla,
a man who takes five pain sticks and kills his chatiche all before having his gach for breakfast. Your co-host, Brian Dedimore.
Klingon woman. Drink blood wine all day. A Klingon woman. Use weapons for play.
Hello, and welcome to the Lou Trek Show. Tonight is a special occasion. You get the Klingon today. Poor Lou is, unfortunately, has pneumonia. So he's not going to be on tonight. So I'm running the whole show tonight by myself. In ad lib. That means I'm just going to talk and going to talk about some of the most current events I know of with Star Trek and talk a little bit about Starbase Indy tonight. As everyone knows, we have our guests Tim Russ and Ethan Phillips and Manu and Five Year Mission and Deborah Downing and the rest of the guests. But now we also have another special guest, Dr. Wolf, a NASA astronaut is coming in. This gentleman was born and raised in Indianapolis, and he has been tentatively confirmed to be at Starbase Indy this year. So we have a real-life NASA astronaut, a shuttle pilot, coming in to Starbase Indy, which is something unique because we don't usually get real-life heroes or real-life Star Trek personnel actually been up in space and actually have done what we all dream about doing, coming to Starbase Indy. So welcome, Dr. Wolf, and I'm glad to have you coming to Starbase Indy. My sweetie, Minxie, has given me a couple ideas to talk about, so we're going to play around with some jokes today with Klingons. One of the things that you never see on a Federation ship, much less see in any other profession, is ship's counselor. And you never see a Klingon being ship's counselor. Now, could you imagine being a Klingon and being a ship's counselor on a Federation starship? The notion of it is enough to make you want to laugh for a few minutes. I could see someone coming in, "Oh, I'm having these relationship issues with these men and stuff," and the Klingon just looks at her for a minute and go, just grab him, back slap him, and just take charge of the situation, dang it. Or, "Quit being a wussy and pick yourself up. You're better than these scumbags." I mean, it's just, the jokes are running off of my head here for a minute, just thinking about what it's like to be a counselor. And it all comes up to the fact that there's going to be a surprise at Starbase Indy concerning the USS Gorkon. And there's going to be some changes done. And one of the things that we're talking about is putting people in certain positions. We got a lot of Klingons on board our ship. Actually, it's funny because it's the USS Gorkon's probably the biggest laughable joke of the Federation. This is a Federation starship. It's actually, Paramount actually made this ship, by the way. It was Admiral Nahasha's flagship during the Next Generation series when Data captured some Borgs and created his own little empire, and Admiral Nahasha's flagship was the USS Gorkon, an Excelsior-class starship. And when I started my club several years ago, I took that because I was a Klingon, like Worf, serving in the Federation. So I wanted to pick something that I could inspire people to be Klingon and still keep the Feddies happy. So that's where I came up with the USS Gorkon, took the NCC number and the class and everything, and been running with it for 16 plus years now. So with that in mind, the current crew of the USS Gorkon is kind of unique because there's no Federation officers on it whatsoever. It's all either Klingon or it's Romulan. It's the Federation on the ship. I mean, they wear their Federation uniforms, but if you look at their comm badges, they all have Romulan comm badges or Klingon comm badges, or they're dressed up in either classic or Imperial Klingon. Or they're dressed up in Federation uniforms wearing Imperial Klingon sashes and carrying Imperial Klingon weapons. So this is kind of the most unique Federation ship ever put together, I think, in a long time. And we've got some new people coming on, and they're Klingons. And we got to put them in positions. Well, one of the positions they were talking about putting was kind of an administrative position or a advisory position. Well, what's the best place to be an advisor? Is ship's counselor. So there's where we come up with the concept of putting a Klingon as ship's counselor. Which now you've got all, now you're going to start having these Klingon jokes of what happens when you walk into the Klingon counselor and you're having a problem with bullies? Need I say any more? You just walked into a room with the biggest bully in the galaxy. I mean, come on. Let's get real here for a minute. And it's going to be funny because the poor Klingon who's getting this position, I won't tell you when because it's going to be a surprise in November, is going to have to play the part right down to a T. And it's going to be funny it's going to be funny if someone on the crew comes up and asks advice to this poor Klingon. And if he's doing what he's supposed to be doing, he's going to make life difficult for that poor person who comes in. But it's just one of the nuances that you get when you have Star Trek clubs. I mean, who had ever thought you'd have a Federation ship for Klingons serving in the Federation? And some of them even as Imperial Klingons. And it's a concept that has been embraced, believe it or not, by ICAF. ICAF kind of enjoys it. And the Ring of Fire Fleet definitely enjoys it. It's just, to them, it's so unique that it's not one of their prize ships, but it's something they can brag about. It's one of them, look at this, we got the Federation by the you-know-what, because we got all Klingons on board their ship. So it's one of those nice things that you get to see in Phantom that makes a club unique. And with everything going on and everything, we just picked up a new crewman today. And we've been trying, me and the first officer's been trying to figure out how we're going to incorporate this person into our ship, because we can't put him where we want to put him at, because it wouldn't be fair to the current department head who is in charge of it right now. So we're sitting here trying to figure out, where are we going to put this poor guy at? You know, we can't put him in security, because the security chief, it wouldn't be fair to the security chief who's been doing the job actually quite well for the last 2 years to put the poor man insecurity. So it's going to be a unique situation at best when we decide to put this poor man in his position and how he goes about doing the role of the counselor. But we've also been debating on putting a CAG in. If anyone who knows anything about carriers, a CAG is Commander Air Group. Well, the USS Gorkon is in fact a Excelsior class carrier. It carries a couple squadrons of fighter shuttles in the back part of its, where the nacelle's at, the back part's been expanded to hold multiple shuttles, and then there's an extra shuttle bay below that fighters come out of. So when the Star Trek Online, they redid the Excelsior class carrier, which we have a picture of and we use as our USS Gorkon picture. We have this unique situation now that we have a position on our ship called CAG, Carrier Commander Air Group. So we're trying to debate how we're going to use this. Are we going to keep this back for the kids? And this will be the man be in charge of all the kids. and try to work them up and through the ranks and up and through the learning what it's like to be part of a Star Trek fan club and giving them stuff to do. So these are nuances that you don't see too much, and people don't hear about in clubs, that certain clubs have situations where they come into this. And this is, I thought I would bring some of this up today in conversation since I needed something to talk about. And I'm going to talk about a little bit about Klingons too. The last time I had a Klingon discussion, I talked about history. This time I think I'm going to do a little something different. I'm going to kind of talk more on Klingon philosophy, how they look at things, how they might perceive things, how the Klingons in general, by the way, I say general, not specific, but generally take things. It's a question that's come up many times. Why are you Klingon? Why aren't you Federation? Why aren't you Romulan? Why aren't you Vulcan? Why do you have this big Captain Kirk bobblehead sitting on your desk at work, which bounces up and down every time? Every time something good, I hit his chin real quick and watching bobblehead, and people just enjoy watching this thing that I picked up this weekend, because I'm always looking for unique Klingon things, like my Klingon pocket watch I carry with me on my uniform now. So I can keep track of time and still be Klingon stylish. People look at, like today I had a lady who kind of has an interest in Star Trek but never has seen someone dressed up as a Klingon. I was showing her the picture of Starbase Indy last year where I was in the main picture with four other Klingons from the Empire. Going into the opening receptions at Starbase Indy. And she got to see me in my full regalia. And she's like, "You dress up like that?" I said, "Yeah, I dress up like that every time." "Well, how'd you get those ridges on your head?" And I told her how I created my prosthesis and how I created my uniform and where I got everything. And she asked me, "Why are you Klingon?" And this is something I always tell everybody. You can have 50 Federation people walk in, sit down, and nobody will even notice them. You get 5 Klingons walk into a room, everybody notices them. When have you not seen? Well, I'm going to give you a good example. If you go to the USS Gorkon's Facebook page and you go to Trackfest, there's a picture of me with four young people. And that picture was kind of unique because they walked up to me and said, "Hey, can we get a picture of you with the Klingon?" And it's like, everybody wants a picture of the Klingon. I mean, when a Klingon walks into a room, they automatically draw attention because they're noted to being the bad boys of Star Trek. They started out being the equivalent to the Russians back in the 60s, and they've progressed to being the quintessential bad boys of the Star Trek universe. When they walk in, treat them like bikers. I guess is the best way to describe it. You get 5 bikers walk into a bar, you know there's trouble coming. You get 5 Klingons walk into a bar, you know there's trouble coming. It's kind of the same stigma, you know what I mean? They're kind of like the rebels of Star Trek. So, and if you listen and look at some of the views, how they take things, you can understand why they have that philosophy and why they draw that kind of attention. People who go out and buy Klingon language books and goes out and buy the Klingon martial arts books and go out and buy the Klingon, the book Star Trek, the Klingon Way book, will see that Klingons have a unique visual effect and philosophy of how they look at the world. Klingons look at battle not just to fight, but as a way to remind themselves who they are and what they are. They're warriors. They're constantly soldiers. They don't, even the civilians take pride in what they do and how they do it. A Klingon farmer will take pride in having great stock and not have a lot of lossage with their food grain or their product or their animal stock. A Klingon arms maker or a armor maker will take pride. Susan Minkowski, by the way, I will mention her in this as a example. A Susan Minkowski costume is a pride and joy. If you own one, you're special, because those are some of the most top-rated Klingon uniforms that have ever been made. They are so close to near production quality that people will spend hundreds of dollars for her custom-made costumes. That's just how good her stuff is. In fact, one of these days, I hope to have a Susan Minkowski uniform and wear it with pride, because it is a beautiful costume, and she makes some of the best Klingon uniforms I have ever seen in my life. In fact, some of her stuff, if I do believe, has shown up in some of the extras that's been in Star Trek. So, I mean, this is a woman who has done great work in costuming and has gained a reputation. And that's kind of the way Klingons take pride in what they do and how they do stuff. So a phrase that I use all the time in most of my emails when I'm talking between fleet commanders or battle group commanders or other people in Star Trek fandom, in between the club commanders and that kind of stuff, is great deeds, great songs. Your deeds will earn you great songs, which are sung by everybody for what you do. So it's kind of my take on how I look at being Klingon. So I thought I would pull out some Klingon quotes and kind of give everyone tonight a good idea of why Klingons are like they are and how and why. And some of the, by the way, these people, most of us who are out there in Klingons kind of use these philosophies when we go out and do stuff, but we also kind of use it as our way of walking in and just awestrucking everybody when we walk into a room. This year is going to be unique because we know we're going to have a lot of Klingons coming in at Starbase Indy, not only to just be there, but they're going to work security this year. We have a very good group of Klingons coming in who are noted for their security work at conventions. And they will be, and just to have them around will be just, people will be taking pictures of them. And especially if they're near their Klingon table, recruiting table and stuff, which will be out in the main atrium, with the weapons display and the banners that we all carry around. See, like me, I have my own house banner that I belong to a house, and I have a banner that I fly at a convention to show my loyalty to the house that I belong to. And a lot of these people go out and get their banners and bring them to conventions and stuff to show off, to show their house's colors too, and their pride in who they are as a Klingon. It's just going to be fun to watch all these Klingons roaming around at the convention, going to places and people going, "Oh no, the Klingons are here." And especially if we get the Kai Santa Klingon, which we haven't seen in a long time at Starbase Indy, and I heard rumors that he might be showing up this year. I hope he does show up. Because it's nice to see how someone has taken a Klingon uniform and turned it into a Santa Claus uniform, and he really looks wild when he gets that, when he's in that uniform. So it's going to be a unique experience this year with people coming, with certain Klingons coming in. And something unique this year, there's a rumor that there's going to be a Klingon room party going on this year at Starbase Indy as well, somewhere in the hotel. So this is going to be fun to have all these Klingons gathered in one area having fun in one or two of the rooms there at Starbase Indy as well. Now, of course, nobody knows what the Klingon theme's going to be. All they know is it's going to be a Klingon party. So this is going to be interesting, too, to see what kind of craziness the Klingons are going to pull at Starbase Indy with nobody knowing what's going on until it actually happens there on the weekend. but two basic Klingon philosophy.
I'm going to start with a quote, and I kind of use this one to start off with because people don't understand basic Klingon philosophy when they're watching the show. And it's, an honorable death requires no vengeance. It's a meaning that's basically stating that if someone dies an honorable death, there's no need for vengeance. But if someone's murdered or killed, then yeah, vengeance is usually asked for and usually will be given in most cases, no matter how dishonored that person is. I'll use case of Worf when he was discommodated and his mate was killed. He went in and dealt with Duras directly like a proper Klingon would. So, yeah, this is... an honorable death requires no vengeance is obvious. I mean, if it's honorable, then there's no reason to seek vengeance for that. I'm going to go back and refer to the classics now. Everyone knows Kang and Captain Kirk, and it's an old one called Only a Fool Fights in a Burning House. It goes back to the philosophy of, if there's no reason to fight, why should you fight? And this is sometimes can be construed as a oxymoron for a Klingon, because Klingons are taught to fight for the enrichment of their life, but why fight? Okay, if there's no purpose to fight, there's no reason to fight, so why fight in a burning house? In other words, why fight a battle in a place where you're not going to get nothing out of it? No honor, no satisfaction. And I use this case in point is the Day of the Dove. And this is a great example when they both looked at the entity that was making them fight each other all the time and say, be gone. This is one time you actually see a Klingon being intelligent and not and going against his aggressive nature to do something. This is one of the things that all strucks people too. Fear is power. Yes, that's true in most cases. And I don't think that people see us, fear us. They're just all struck by us. But in Klingon viewing and stuff, fear is a good motivator. And fear is power. If you have that fear to use, use it. Something that Kalas always spoke of, the clone and the real one. A fool, the wind does not respect a fool. And this is quite true. Who wants to sit out there in a windstorm and die? The wind's not going to respect you for standing up to it. It's going to take you away. There's a point. Klingons just don't go out and do crazy stuff all the time. Okay? They have a purpose for what they do. They have a reason for what they do. And you respect those who are honorable, and you respect those who have a purpose. Something that most people don't understand. If you get five or six Klingons, and we decided we want to follow the instincts to the letter, and we go out and we go to a bar and we start a bar fight and we clean up and mess up and destroy everything, Klingons are honorable. We'll go in, look at the bartender, and pay for the damages. Why? Because Klingons are honorable. We do not. Klingons look at view of, if they destroy something and they're a part of it, they pay for it. Whether or not it's their fault or not is irrelevant. If they're in the middle of a bar fight, then they'll pay for the damages that they feel that they've caused, or they'll pay for all the damages in a lot of cases, because they got the enrichment of the fight, but they also were a part of it. And it would be dishonorable to destroy a bar or an establishment and not pay for the damages that they've caused, which most people don't understand that as a Klingon when they hear stuff like this. Klingons in general enjoy a good fight. That's nothing that isn't unusual. We also enjoy being awe when we walk into something. That's just the way Klingons are, and that's how they present themselves. They walk in with a view of power. And if you watch the people who are Klingon and act like Klingon, they will, in fact, be, you walk in, they take the stage. they will walk in and they're not afraid to open their mouth and say, well, okay, the Klingons are in here now. You can continue on now. Or they'll, like last year when we all five walked in, the leader of the Empire walked up and said, okay, you guys can continue on. The Klingons are here. We're in charge. And just basically dumbfounded all everyone up there. And then walked up with their blood wine and shared it with all the actors and actresses that was up there on the stage with them as well. So it's they share, they also enjoy, and they like taking charge. They like being at times the center of attention, and that's the way Klingons, the people who dress up and be Klingons, are. They are the actual center of attention. Something that we also like, a lot of the people who follow the Klingon philosophy, is one does not achieve honor while acting dishonorably. That is a true fact. If you act dishonorable or you act in ways that are not in the good light of Klingons, they remember it. And they are very, very particular about bringing a bad name to the Klingons. I mean, there have been times where people have really brought some bad names to the Klingon Empire, and they're not around anymore. I mean, that's just the way it is. It's just, you just can't do nothing about it, because they eventually will work themselves to the point where they won't be allowed to be around anyone. And it's just the way we are. Those of us who follow the Klingon ways and dress up as Klingon and do some of the Klingonish things, that's how we take a view of everything. Capture all opportunities. I kind of use this at times too. Klingons try to take advantage of everything that's presented to them. And in the show, you could see how Kern took advantage of situations and won battles because of his capture all opportunities. It's the same thing in the projects that we do outside of the Phantom when we do our charity work and stuff. I seize a lot of opportunities and try to do a lot of community work to help people out. Case in point, this year we did a coat collection for Coats for Kids, for Bob Gregory's for Coats for Kids here in Indianapolis, Indiana. And me and my crew basically worked our butt off to get 36 very nice jackets for Bob Gregory's Coats for Kids. So that means there's 36 kids out there this year of various sizes, from toddlers and newborns, actually from newborns up to 18 years old, who got new jackets, practically brand new jackets this year. And some of them were Colts jackets, Pacers jackets, IU jackets. We had one girl's leather jacket, very nice, long, lengthy leather jacket this year. I mean, we found some nice coats that we could give to people to help out. And this is Klingon's way of looking at everything and doing things. They capture the opportunities. And I'm going to quote another one, and this is something that most people don't seem to understand at times. When a warrior goes into battle, he does not abandon his friends. And this is more of our military, too, and which is why I brought this one up. Our military don't abandon themselves, and Klingons don't abandon their allies and stuff, neither. Good example, the Ohio Battle Group here where I'm at, I don't have that many Klingons here in Indiana. Ohio has a lot of them, and here recently, the Ohio Battle Group has been coming over. Thank you, Ron, by the way. I'm like giving you knowledge right now, Ron. Okay. And they're helping me out because they know that I don't have a lot of support here, so they're making sure I have the support. They're coming to battle, and they're not abandoning their friends. And I thank them for that because they are very good friends who go out there and help out. This is a nice quote in the Klingon philosophy: when in doubt, surprise them. I use this a lot too in everything I do, because people look at some of the projects that I do and what I work on, And it surprises them that that can be pulled off, or it can be done, and how well I get it pulled off. Surprising them is always the best trick, and Klingons like to surprise people. And there's no other way to basically say that. Surprise them. Do something they're not going to expect, and then wow them. Because Klingons love to be wowed. Something else that I like to bring up, too, is there's nothing shameful in falling to a superior enemy. There isn't. I mean, Klingons understand that they're going to lose a battle. And there's no dishonor in losing to a superior opponent. There is a little dishonor, though, if you lose to a weaker opponent when you should have won. So, you have to, again, it's looking at the view of how people view Klingons. They think of them as these big, scrawny, brawling guys that do just about anything. Well, they not always don't do that. They have an idea of what they want to do and how they do it, and they go about doing it. And it's how they go about doing it is what makes them so awesome. Real power is in the heart. I mean, it's just the heart. If you're a Klingon, then you've got your heart is your power. What you do and how you present yourself and stuff is how Klingons get their power. Something that you'll hear that would be kind of surprising to hear is brute strength is not always the most important asset in a fight. It isn't. Anyone can boulder their way through something, but it takes a little brains, a little intelligence, and a little bit of quickness, too. I mean, there is things you have to take into account. Never truly underestimate a Klingon, because you never know what they're going to do. It comes back to the thing. When in doubt, surprise them. And that's a Klingon philosophy. Now, I'm going to quote probably the most famous quote that Klingons, and you'll find this quote will always be something that Klingons are proud to hear. Klingons are a proud race, and we intend to go on being a proud race. This was said during the Star Trek Undiscovered Country. This was a quote saying, because the Klingons had just lost practice, and they were debating on whether they wanted to go to war or be slaves to the Federation. And they made a saying that Klingons are a proud race and we will intend on being a strong race. People who play Klingons use that and make themselves proud to be that. And it's something that you have to understand by watching and being around us who portray ourselves as Klingons. And I'm going to use the other quote. We are Klingon. We do. We walk in. We are Klingon, and you know we are Klingon, and you know what's going to be expected. And it's just because of the persona that was created for Klingons by all these great actors who have come along and presented the views and histories of Klingons to make it interesting for people and have people come in and see who we are and what we are. And it's hard to explain it to people, but I'm just trying to give you some of the ideas of how Klingons look at view and how people who play Klingons, the parts of Klingons, kind of take the views of how they take their lives. So some of these people will actually also in real life abide by some of these philosophies. Like, this is one I kind of live on too, as at times I tried to live by it. Celebrate. Tomorrow you may die. And this is true in real life. Celebrate what you have. Celebrate what's going on. And celebrate all the victories and all the good things you have, because tomorrow you may die. In Klingon view, it might be dying in battle. It might be whatever's going on in their world at the time. During the Star Trek shows is where this came about. So always remember to enjoy it. And now that I'm done talking Klingon philosophy, Starbase Indy, November 26th to November 28th, we have
Tim Russ, who played Tuvok, which, by the way, he also played a Klingon. By the way, Klingons is our Klingon for the convention. Ethan Phillips, who played Neelix. Manu, and I'm sorry, Manu, because I can never get your last name straight. Itayama, I'm sorry if I screwed it up. I try to do it, but I'm not good with your last name. Deborah Downing and sci-fi cartoonist Dave Reddick and Five Year Mission. Five Year Mission is a group of guys here in Indianapolis who is a Star Trek band. And they've wrote songs concerning the original series episodes, and they've wrote songs for it. And they're going to be in concert at the Starbase Indie Convention. And, of course, Dr. Wolf, we'll be looking forward to having you there, too, talking about your NASA experiences and your shuttle experiences as well. If you're a Trekkie fan, if you're a Trek fan, I'm going to get it right this time so everyone will quit dogging me because I'm saying it wrong. Go out and find your niche in the Star Trek universe, but find your niche in other parts of what Star Trek does. People who are in clubs don't just dress up and gather every month and dress up and act like they're on board the USS Enterprise. They actually sit down and they do stuff in their communities. Find yourself a club somewhere, and you don't have to always dress up in the uniform and stuff. Go out and be a part of the community that they're trying to help around in their areas, and go out and be a part of it. And I think once you've joined a club and you find a good club, you'll stay with it and you'll enjoy it. And then when it's time to put on that uniform, you'll be proud to put on that uniform. And I say this because I've got 3 18-year-olds on my USS Gorkon. And you couldn't get these guys, you couldn't get them to put a uniform on to save their life, okay? But I can guarantee you, every time they put on their uniforms and they go out in public, they are the proudest men you have ever seen. They are so proud to have their uniforms, and they, as strange as this might sound, folks, they actually keep their uniform pristine as much as possible. They get irate if they get something on it, and they're hell-bent to get it cleaned off and back on and proper because they're proud of that uniform. And before that, trying to get them into it beforehand, they look at you like, there ain't no way in the world you're getting me into that suit. Or they're getting me into that. But once they get it on, they are the most proudest people in the world. And I always tell anybody who's new, give it a shot. Try it out for a few months. Join the club. Find out what they're about. And I think you'll find that you would enjoy it. And I try to tell this to anybody who's asked me about Phantom. And this is what I tell them. Join the club. Find out what we're about. And you'll find that we're just everyone else here. We work. We live in the community. We want to try to help the communities that need help when they need help. Best way to do it is put on a Star Trek uniform and walk out in the crowd, man. And you draw crowds. You draw attention. And that's the major part of wearing those Star Trek outfits and wearing those Star Trek uniforms, is you can take that notoriety with it and do something good with your community with it. And that's what I tried to preach and philosophize with people. I tried to take that philosophy out and show people what it's like to be in a Star Trek club. And they come to find out it's just a bunch of nice people getting together trying to help their community, but they do it through their Star Trek fan club. Just like your social clubs out there, like your Moose and your Elk and your Eagles Club and your veteran organizations and any other organization goes out and try to help the community. They just do it through their Star Trek club. So don't brush away when you say, oh no, there's these Star Trek people. I like Star Trek, but I'm afraid to get the stigma. There's no stigma. Just go out and talk with them and be with them, and you'll find out you might actually enjoy it. And that's my advice to people who
want to find out about Star Trek fan clubs but are afraid to get involved with them. Get involved with them. You might find you might like it and enjoy it. Well, that's all. This is all I have for this show this week, folks. I'm glad to come in and talk a little bit about Klingon and Star Trek, being in a Star Trek club, and talk about some of the other stuff. And I look forward to hopefully Lou being a little bit better next week and having him back on. If not, then I will fly again next week. And this time I'll probably have a topic to talk about other than ad-libbing Klingon philosophy for everybody tonight. So for myself and Lou, I hope you get better. This is the Lou Trek Show for tonight. Have a good one. Bye-bye. Kapla!